Welcome to the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast. I'm Ashland Dave, and I'm recording live from my podcast studio in Ashland, Virginia. Thanks for coming along. And this is Ashland Dave, and this is the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast, episode 207. It's the week of February 9th, 2015. Thanks for coming along. And I really do appreciate you coming back to the show. I appreciate all the loyal listeners out there that come back, even though the shows are not at a regular, they don't get put out at a regular frequency. And I'll tell you the biggest reason for that now is that I've had to take on a part-time job. So I've got a full-time job, and then I work extra hours at a local hospital here to get some extra money. Kids in braces now. Everything seems to be a little bit more expensive, although gas didn't really go down. I mean, gas has gone down some, but it just seems, you know, if we want to continue to take vacations and, you know, live the way we've been living. So anyway, that's not really the main reason the podcast doesn't come out at a regular frequency as in the past. One of the reasons. But I do appreciate you coming along, as always. And if you're a new listener to the show, I would encourage you to stick around and listen to this show and then check out future shows. And you can go to ashlanddave.podbean.com and pull up shows going way back several years. They're in the archives there at ashlanddave.podbean.com. If you got this show through iTunes, that's not going to show all the episodes. And if you don't know how iTunes works, iTunes is really just kind of a phone book. iTunes does not store any data. It's just the phone book for podcasts. So in other words, if you download something through iTunes, what you're doing is it's kind of like opening up the Yellow Pages and dialing the phone number, which then takes you to the business. You're not actually talking to the Yellow Pages. You're talking to the business. You're just going through the Yellow Pages. That's how iTunes works. It's kind of like a phone book. So all the data is stored at ashlanddave.podbean.com, and you can check out old episodes there. This episode, the title, if you looked at, it's called Relax Fit versus Bootleg. And if you know anything about clothing, then that's obviously I'm referring to jeans. And I'm going to try to do an analogy for blue jeans compared to my running here lately. And I'm kind of more in the relaxed fit stage right now, and I'll get to that as the show progresses. As we get to when I talk about my the update on my running streak, but I want to talk a little bit about home repair to get started. My question is to all the listeners out there, which I guess is around between 500 and 700, because that's how many downloads per show I get. Has anybody out there ever changed the wax ring underneath their toilet? I personally feel like you haven't lived until you have deinstalled your toilet, replaced the wax ring, and then reinstalled your toilet. I have a friend who changes his own oil on his car. His name's Lomax. He listens to the show sometimes. And that's something I don't do. I don't even think I'd know how to do it. I would have to watch a video. I've just never changed my own oil, but I've always changed the wax rings on my toilet. So, but Lomax doesn't do that. He apparently has somebody do that for him, but he'll change the oil on his own oil in his car or his vehicles. If you never experienced that, then you definitely need to know how to do that. It's quite an experience, and you get down real close to how plumbing works underneath your toilet. And the reason I'm talking about that is because we had it had nothing to do with the wax ring, but I just had to throw that in there. We had a little bit of a problem with what we call a phantom flusher a couple weeks back. And up in the master bedroom of my house, we have a pretty modern toilet. In other words, we bought it, I guess, 2 years ago, and, you know, one of these low-volume flusher things with all this complicated stuff inside. It's not your typical plunger. You know, bopper kind of thing on the arm, kind of hard to explain. Anyway, we would be sitting, you know, watching TV or whatever downstairs, and we would just hear the toilet upstairs come on and then shut off in relatively quick time. There were times I would run upstairs, try to see what it did when it cut off. I marked the inside. I actually cut the water off to the toilet and marked the inside of the toilet to see if the water was dropping, to see if it was seeping through the flush valve. It didn't seem to be doing that, but yet it still continued to phantom flush. And I even got to the point where, and this is pretty anal, I was actually timing it. So I would look at the clock over the TV, see that it happened, and I think I figured out once that it was in 34-minute intervals, so I was able to predict it. And sure enough, I went up there and could not figure it out. So I had to go online, and what I had done was I actually had looked at the bottom of the flush valve, and it appeared to be sealing. So I didn't, this is something that sits in water all day long, 24/7. So I didn't really think much of it. It appeared to be sealing, so I didn't think any water was leaking through. I thought there was a leak somewhere else, but there was no water on the floor. And, silly me, that's really the only place the water can go, because that's where it goes when you hit the flush valve. When you hit the flush handle, it opens up that flush valve, and that's where the water goes through. So you got to have a good seal there. Well, so I went on to, it was a Kohler toilet, and it had some different parts inside the toilet than I had replaced before. I have to admit, I'm a little bit handy around toilets. I don't really know how I acquired those skills. It wasn't something I learned from my parents or anything. It wasn't something I learned in college or anything like that. I just kind of thought it was, this mechanical thing that moves water around with no electricity. I just thought it was kind of interesting. So I've always kind of been a little bit interested on the what the inside of toilets look like, not cleaning them, just the mechanical part. And so I've been able to fix them wherever I've lived before. Not to mention, it's always good to have a fresh wax ring whenever you move into an apartment or a house. You got to have fresh wax rings. That's just mandatory. And if you don't know what the wax ring is, then it takes a lot of abuse. Let's put it that way, at the bottom of a toilet. Anyhow, so the inside of this toilet had a little bit more complicated moving parts, some stuff I wasn't familiar with. So I went and was looking for how to replace that flush valve. And believe it or not, the trick was to replace the seal at the bottom of the flush valve, which is a circular piece of rubber, and it costs $7 at Home Depot, if you can believe it. $7 for a piece of rubber to create that seal. So I brought it, went out and bought it, brought it home, installed it, and everything works perfect now. So we no longer have the phantom flusher, and so we got that fixed, that would come on. And keep it in mind, this was loud enough where you would hear it at night. You would hear the toilet, because the tank fills with a lot of force. So you hear the water, and it doesn't take very long for the tank to fill up. So there's a lot of force coming in. So it's kind of like somebody turning on your water faucet really loud and then cutting it off. That's kind of how loud it was. I'm not sure why it's that loud. Maybe I should turn the water pressure down a little bit. But as soon as we got that fixed, we started having our garbage disposal started leaking. And unbeknownst to us, it had been leaking for months. And all underneath the sink in the kitchen, the cabinet floor was damp and, kind of like permanently dented now, because it was holding so much water. So we're going to have to get that fixed. I've got stuff under there now picking it up. But the silver lining in this whole thing is that we've actually decided to buy a new sink. And because we always wanted a black sink, we have kind of a cream-colored sink that matches the kitchen. But over the years we've been in this house, we've actually gotten some black appliances. And I think now that the black sink sitting on top of the cabinet is really going to look nice. So we bought that, and that's been sitting in the back of my car for the last 3 weeks until we get a plumber. I don't do sinks, so we got to get a plumber to come in here and install all that stuff. We got a guy up the street. That's the phantom flusher story. I wrote those notes some time back because I thought everybody would get a real kick out of that. If you've got a toilet that runs, you're really just wasting water, and that's money that you're wasting. It might not be a whole lot, but just the fact that they're getting over on you and leaking water in your toilet and taking your money without you doing anything about it, I just can't sit too. It doesn't sit too well with me. So I've always made sure my toilets are in good working order. All right, let's talk a little bit about the running streak, and then I'm going to get to a litter issue. And all these things have to do with running, even the litter, and I've talked about this before in lots of shows. My running streak is over. I ran 31 days in a row. I started January 1st, and I finished January 31st. And really, there was two reasons why the running streak ended. Well, my first goal was just to do it for the whole month. That was the goal. I had a 2 mile minimum. So, you know, some days I'd come home from work and I just put on, you know, it's funny because of the, when I would do 2 miles, I wasn't even really changing into a running type of shirt because it was just no need. I would just kind of wear the t-shirt I wore under my business shirt and then put a kind of a sweatshirt over top because I'm always going to run for 21 to 22 minutes. I wasn't, you know, I didn't need to put on this big running outfit. You know, like if you're going out for 5 or 6 miles, you're going to be out there for a while. You want to, in my opinion, want something a little bit better. But anyway, so my goal was to run the whole month, and I did. And I was actually pretty impressed that I was able to, do it every day. The longest runs were on the weekends with Ash and Bob, who is running a half marathon coming up in a week or so. I think it's the 22nd. He's running a half marathon. This is that Love Rocks one that I've talked about that, you know, you don't run with another dude in any kind of race that has to do with hearts or love. It's just something you don't do. And I mean, you can train with them, but it, you know, you don't, I don't know. I always thought, I just think that's kind of weird. But anyway, I was doing longer runs with him, 4 to 6 miles, mostly 5. Brian would come out there as well as Ashley and Tom. We kind of got back to our regular Saturday morning running group minus Rodney because of his heart trouble. And it's been kind of cool to be back with the group because I'd been kind of a loner for so long. But getting back to the running streak, so the biggest issue, or two issues why the running streak ended. The first one is, the Super Bowl was February 1st. And what happened on February 1st is I got up, that was a Sunday, I got up, we go to church at 8:30, then my wife and I teach a middle school class from 9:45 to 10:45. And then I had to be at work at 12 o'clock, and I had to work till 5, and then we were going to Ash and Tom's house to watch the Super Bowl shortly after that. So there was very little time for me to run, and yeah, I guess I could have gotten in a 2-miler. I'm not really sure where. I could have gotten up early that morning, but I just didn't feel like it. And, you know, frankly, I felt that, you know, I met my goal. I ran every day of the month. I did a 31-day running streak, and I thought that was, you know, that was good enough for me. I didn't have any public plans to go much further, and I don't know. I just wanted to see if I could do it. And the other reason, which may be even more important, was my left knee was starting to hurt, and it seems to me that I kind of need that day off or those 2 days rest sometimes between runs, even just short runs. I mean, I am 45. I'll be 46 in a few months. And, you know, I'm not getting any younger. I'm not old, but I'm not getting any younger. And I just didn't see the point in if I was doing any damage to keep that going. So part of me is a little bit disappointed that I didn't keep it going, but I've kind of gotten over that. And, of course, the Super Bowl was worth watching. I still think I probably could have snuck in a 2-miler. But I said at the beginning that there would be a problem if for some reason I would have to go do a 2-miler before I could do anything else, almost like I had to take drugs before I could do something, then therein would lie the problem, and then I would stop it. So that's where the running streak went. And what's happened now is I've kind of adopted this relaxed fit perspective on running. And if you know what relaxed fit jeans are and bootleg jeans, I remember when I was, I guess, in middle school or in high school, Levi's made these tapered fit jeans. It was more, I think they call them bootleg now, but it was, it wasn't straight leg. It was bootleg, which I think means it kind of tapers at the bottom to hug around the boots. And to me, that was always kind of really, form-fitting type of jeans, you know, rigid, structured. And then they came out with this relaxed fit type of jeans. I'm not sure which manufacturer came out with them first, but the relaxed fit is, you know, on the weekend, you're sitting around, you're kind of chilling out, you know, you walk around, you got to hitch them up a little bit because they kind of, you know, fall down. You know, they're relaxed fit. You just kind of, you know, you hang out in them, you chill out, you do whatever you want. And that's kind of how I'm doing with my running right now. So after the running streak ended, I took a whole week off, and then I guess it was last week. Let's see, today's the 9th. Oh, yeah, it would have been this. Well, today's not the 9th. Today's actually the 11th, but it's the week of the 9th. So yeah, back on the 7th was my first run, and went out there with Ashton and Bob, and I think we did, oh gosh, I can't remember what we did. Oh, I was on call. I did 4.5. Yeah, I got called out to work at 4.5 miles into a 5-miler, and then since then I've done a couple 2-miler, 3-milers. So I'm just kind of doing, doing what I feel like. I took yesterday off, ran Monday, was off yesterday, ran this morning with the dog, and did 4.5 this morning. And I'm not going to be so rigid on the even numbers. I'm just going to kind of run for fun. And I think what's going to happen is when I find that event that strikes me as the one that I want to do, as opposed to just doing the ones that are on the schedule because I've done them before, that's when I'm going to go back to the bootleg type of training where it's tight. Whereas right now it's very loose. And I really like that a lot. It's almost liberating in a way. And I think I kind of needed that after I did the 50-miler, the Croatan 24, back on November 8th. That, even though I did the running streak all of January, but that was with no, distance goals in mind, I really think that last ultra just kind of burned me out mentally. Not physically, but mentally. I had a great experience doing it, but the fallout, although it was really, it was intrinsically rewarding to accomplish that distance and my time goal of, I think it was 11 hours, 39 minutes for the distance, something like that. Very rewarding, and, it was a great event and all that, but I just think I just got mentally got burned out by always having to achieve those long double-digit runs on the weekends and spending all that time doing it. And I just needed a break from it. And I think that's a healthy thing to do. And I think it was time for me to do that. And the fear of missing out, FOMO, that's an acronym you might hear some ultra runners and marathoners use. It's that fear of missing out that I think causes some people to continue training past the threshold that might not be a good thing. And other people can continue to race, and this doesn't happen to them. And I'm not being critical of people at all. I'm just talking about my perspective. For me, I'm not, I don't mind what other people do. In fact, I like to listen to what they do. It's inspiring. I'm just talking about my perspective. I missed the. I'm not going to be running the Dahlgren half marathon, which I think was this, coming up. Yeah, it's this weekend. I didn't even sign up for it. Wasn't ready for it. I've run it last year. I think I did it the year before, and I think it's a great event, but I just, just not up for it. There's a 24-hour race coming up, I think it's a 12-hour race coming up, 12 or 24-hour race called the Dogwood 24 coming up on March 28th, and I'm going to check my schedule, and I'm thinking about going down there and volunteering for that if I'm able to. I might have something else going on. So, I just don't have this big desire right now to do anything this spring. And although I did have a fleeting idea to do the Monument Avenue 10K because I hadn't done it for so many years. And that's actually my personal record in the 10K course. That's the only time I've ever broken 50 minutes in a 10K. Of course, that was probably about 10 years ago. But I am thinking about doing the Richmond Marathon in the fall. But that's a decision that doesn't have to be made for quite some time. So, yeah, we're on the relaxed fit perspective now, and I kind of like that. It's you come home from work, if you feel like running, you run. If you don't feel like running, you don't run. And my daughter's in she's going to be in the spring play at her middle school, so she gets picked up every day at 5:30 for rehearsal. So I have ample opportunity to come home, get the dog. There's a big county park near her school, which has trails or just running on paths that are kind of along the wood line. And my dog absolutely loves the park. And so it's an easy no-brainer to get out there and do a couple miles. But if I don't feel like doing it, then I just don't. I don't feel the pressure right now to get mileage in, to get, mileage added up so I look at my weekly mileage and look like, yeah, I'm really accomplishing something. I think I'm going to take a little bit of a step back right now, reassess, and live a little bit doing some other things. I'll still do the podcast, don't get me wrong, because I always got, shit to say about stuff. But I'll get back into a more bootleg, so to speak, running program here over the next few months. All right, let me talk a little bit about litter. I've detected a litter bug here. Well, I've detected a few, but we have serial litter bugs. We have one guy or two guy, I don't know who it is. They throw one of these 40-ounce Miller High Life bottles on a vacant block up the road. In fact, Ash and Bob owns the property. He just hasn't built the house on it yet. They throw a empty bottle in that lot about every other night. So I always pick that. I cannot stand seeing litter on the side of the road. If I'm able to pick it up, I will. And then I've just detected another one, and this is our newspaper carrier. What the newspaper carrier does is they hang the package of bags that they put the papers in, the little plastic bags that they put them in when they throw it in the driveway. They hang that from the rearview mirror, and they pull the individual bag off. It's perforated, and they put the paper in there, and then they throw it in your driveway. Well, once those bags are gone, it leaves a little handle with the tabs. And I've noticed that I see those along the road and along the ditch line around the town. And so obviously I know where those are from because I've seen them when they deliver the paper when I'm out really early. I see how the bags are hanging, and it can only be from that source. So I was trying to figure out a way to address that. Now, each year around Christmas time, we get a card inserted into our newspaper from our newspaper carrier soliciting a tip or soliciting a gift. Not saying, hey, here's where you send your gift or your tip or your money. But if you we've done that over the years. We've sent them a small, I don't know, maybe a $20, tip or whatever. This is before I figured out that the newspaper carrier was a litter bug. And the reason I know it's ours is because these things I see near my house. I've picked up a few, and I was thinking about taking a picture and then send it into the supervisor there and just saying, hey, tell the carriers in Ashland to quit littering because I'm finding these things on the side of the road and in the ditch. And there's really only – they're from them. I have no doubt about that. I'd love to be able to catch them. Did you know that littering in Virginia is a Class 1 misdemeanor, which is the same thing as stealing and a DUI, domestic assault, and simple assault, and misdemeanor sexual battery? They're all Class 1 misdemeanors in Virginia. And so that means they're all – that's how the General Assembly of Virginia is looked at litter, is how serious it is, although it's so underreported and so underenforced. But – So what I was thinking about doing is when we get this card each year, instead of sending money, what I'd like to do, and my wife told me not to do this, and I'm not going to do it, but wouldn't this be funny? To take a picture of all the little handle tabs that I've found. I know y'all are probably laughing and thinking there's something wrong with me. But how about sending that picture to the newspaper carrier saying, hey, if you want a tip from me, how about quit littering in my community? I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, but don't you think that would have an impact? I don't know, maybe not. Okay, well, that's enough about litter. I want to talk about my Olympus shoes. All right, what we did is I needed some new Ultras. I run in the Ultra Olympus running shoe. It's, I think, technically a trail shoe. However, I have just fallen in love with this shoe because it's got a very wide toe box. It doesn't cram my toes together. And I'm able to my toes don't blister, at least, for double-digit runs. Obviously at the 50-miler they did because that's just huge trauma on the feet. But for regular running, and they're really cushioned, and I really like them. And the time came for me to get some new ones. And I wanted a different color, because I like to switch colors on shoes. When I go to a new shoe, I'll get the same model, but I want to get a different color. And I'm on my second pair of Ultras, so instead of getting the red and orange ones, which is a really strange combination of colors, but it looked pretty cool, I got the green and blue one. So I went online. I can't really remember what site I went on, but I was searching for the shoes, and I noticed that this model is being discontinued, and that happened to me with Asics. I found the Asics shoes that I really liked, and then they kept discontinuing and upping the numbers and upping the price, and that kind of stuff just ticks me off. We're all just doing the same thing. But what I did is I found, and these are shoes that are about $120. I finally had to succumb to that. If you've listened to the show over the years, you've heard me say that it just doesn't make any sense for shoes to cost so much money when all you do is pound, pound, pound in them, but they do. And I finally had to submit to that, and I got these expensive cushioned shoes, which I ended up falling in love with them because it was taking my back pain away. Well, they're discontinuing. It looks like they're discontinuing the model that I like because I found them for like 69 something, 70 bucks. And so I went ahead and bought two pairs, and I'm back to the same colors I had before. And what I'm going to try is when I switch to the new ones, which will be soon, which, you know, takes a long time when you're doing 2 mile runs, you know, when you're doing 10 milers, you know, every other weekend or every weekend, you know, that mileage adds up and you got to discard the shoes. But anyway, these, I'm getting ready to move to the new ones. And I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to switch out every day I run. I'm going to switch out to a different pair. And I'm just going to kind of compare and see how long these last. It'll help with odor, of course. That's usually why I've had to get rid of shoes in the past, is because the odor overcomes the house and overcomes me. And so the shoes get retired. They go out to the garage and become, you know, lawn shoes, lawnmower, mowing the lawn shoes, things like that. So we'll see how that works out. I did get an email from somebody I'll check out in the email bag about the Ultras. And I'll get to that here in just a minute. So that's the show for this week. We're going to get into the email bag section of the show here in just a second, because I've always got new topics there. We'll talk about the Ashland Theater. I think we'll also talk a little bit about running shirt etiquette. So let's check the email bag section of the show right now and see who checked in this week. Okay. We heard from Karen Heim out of Culver, Indiana. And she says she's been listening almost since the show started, and we've communicated a couple times via email. She says they're going to do the Florida Keys Ragnar Relay as an ultra team, and she said that she used the podcasts when I did the Keys 50 miler from a few years ago, and she said she shared those podcasts with her running ultra team. And they re-listen to them so they can have an idea of what to expect. And she said they re-listened to the four podcasts. I did not know I did four podcasts on that. I thought I did two. I'll have to go back and check. But wow, Karen, that's really cool. And she says they're going to each run between 30 and 36 miles over the course of about 36 hours. So hopefully she will check in. Karen, hopefully you'll come in. You'll check in. Let me know how you did. Also, where she lives in Culver, Indiana, they have an old theater as well. It's an abandoned theater. And so she was really glad to hear about how the Ashland Theater had been redone, and it got her thinking about the potential for theirs and then trying to figure out how she can get it back to its glory days. She says it'd be a great draw because they have a private boarding school just outside of town, and they're often looking for something to do on the weekend. And Karen, you're very welcome for doing the podcast. Now, and thanks for the email. I do want to say a few more things about the Ashland Theater. This weekend, being that it is Valentine's Day on Saturday, the Ashland Theater is showing Dirty Dancing, and I am taking my bride to that, even though I don't really like that movie. But they're having pizza and champagne in the movie theater, and that is a very, very Ashland thing. This is a very quirky town, believe it or not. So Karen, thanks for the email, and I appreciate it very much. Heard from Slug, aka Kenny, and he said he still enjoys every episode. I've met Kenny several years ago out at the Mountain Masochist when I was crewing for Ashland Tom. Kenny was running that. He's out of Tennessee, if I'm not mistaken. Anyway, this is a great email. He sent me a picture about when he got attacked by a dog. He says, hey, Dave, on the issue of self-defense while running, I have run quite a few miles off-road and on in the last 12 years or so without incident till last spring. I live and run in a pretty rural place where almost nobody ties up or fences their dogs. I've always got along with most dogs just fine. My nearest neighbor lives about a quarter of a mile from me. He has two female German shepherds that usually come out to the road and bark, but that is all. This particular day, I ran out and they barked as usual, but when I came back by to finish my run, they both just made a beeline for me and immediately tried to attack me. I didn't have anything to defend myself except my fists. They cornered me, began lunging at me. I punched one in the head and then the other one I punched in the mouth. This is Kenny punching two dogs. I mean, this is badass shit, man. That left some pretty nasty cuts in my hand, but that turned the fight in my favor. They decided they had enough fun and went back home. I went that same day and bought some pepper spray that is made for runners, and I also carried a pistol for a couple of weeks. All right, way to go, Kenny. Now I only carry pepper spray. I figure it should be effective for four-legged problems as well as two-legged problems. And he put redneck drivers in parentheses. And then a follow-up email. That's just tough, man. You can't... Kind of like Grace. You ever see Seinfeld where Elaine says, that lady says, you can't acquire Grace. Either you have it or you don't. In Kenny's sense, this is just toughness. I mean, if you're going to punch a dog, I mean, you can't acquire toughness when it comes to punching dogs. You either have it or you don't. Kenny clearly has it. Most people would run from the dogs. And Kenny just squared off on him. And I just think that's awesome. And that's why Kenny can run 50 miles. Anyway, his follow-up email says he's had no problem since. The one that I punched in the teeth has never come off the porch when I run by. He just stands on the porch and barks because it's a sissy now, man. And the other one comes about halfway the road and keeps looking at the other one to see if she is interested in tacking again. Pretty funny, actually. Yeah, I've got a picture from this, and I'm going to do my best to put it on the site at ashlanddave.podbean.com if I can. I am not sure if I'll be able to figure that out, how to do that, and because I got to go to work this afternoon, and I want to get the show up. So what I'll do is I'll work on getting that up on the site, and you can check it out. I might reference it later. But thanks for the email, Kenny. I'm very impressed. Very impressed. All right, let's go back to the podcast comments here. All right, so we heard from Scott, and Scott has got a this. Scott does his he's got two podcasts. He's got one is called ultrafinishers.com, and the other one is the computer tutor. And I listen to his computer tutor one every week. It's only about 10 minutes. He's always got a new thing about PCs. We have a MacBook at home, but I got a PC at work, and he's got lots of tips and tricks that on how to be more efficient on your computer, and none of it's with the tech talk, so I'd encourage you to check it out. So what he's doing with his new podcast called UltraFinishers.com is that his is different. He's going to be talking to regular, everyday people who have completed an ultra marathon, how they trained, what they ate, how they dealt with the pain, what it felt to cross the finish line, all that good stuff. So I'm going to encourage you to check that out. I'm going to put that link at ashlanddave.podbean.com in the show notes. You can find it there under episode 207. So I encourage you to check that out. Scott, thanks for listening. I've enjoyed your shows. I heard from Alex, and he sent me a list of T-shirts, the T-shirt list, or the T-shirt etiquette. And I've always thought this was funny. I've thought about doing a show about this over the years just to kind of make fun of some of these, some of the rules. And so he sent me a link at psychowyco.com, which is proper T-shirt etiquette for T-shirts, race T-shirts. And it's got, let's see, there's 21 rules. They're all by Bad Ben, who, if you don't know who Bad Ben is, he is the one who is always out there. He's really tall. He's always out there at the Badwater Marathon. I've seen him in movies I've watched about the Badwater. And he's got some really, really funny shirts here, but the funny rules here. But the bottom line is, which I thought was cool, is that if you crew somebody, you have full rights in an ultra. You have full rights to wear stuff from that race. And what I did for Snuggy Bear, who crewed for me for the Croatan 24, is I actually made him a shirt through that cafepress.com website. And with the logo on, I kind of hijacked the logo from brand, and I guess that was okay. And it wasn't copyrighted, and made him a crew shirt. And because I couldn't get another sweatshirt for him. They gave out sweatshirts at the race, and I couldn't get another one from them because they were sold out. So I made him up a shirt with the logo on. He said he absolutely loves it. And so Alex is the one that picked up the Ultra Olympus, and he says he's excited to give them a try. So I'm kind of curious, Alex, to hear how it went. And Alex, I think he did a 100-miler last year. I remember interviewed him on one of the shows, so it was always good to hear him. Heard from David Williams down under, and he is out there raising money. I think my email is about a month too late to assist him in his fundraising on that, so I'm sorry about that. And David, I wish I could have gotten to you earlier. It's always nice to hear from you. And that's it for this week. I'll be out with another show soon. And I really do appreciate you coming along, listen to the podcast. Hopefully you had a couple laughs along the way. And this is Ashland Dave, and I'm running in the center of the universe, Ashland, Virginia, reminding you to run to the finish, keep on running. Don't forget to hug your kids, and y'all have a good week. Thank you.